practicing, like trying to be doing well and succeeding, and also be kind to the part of me that's sulking.
Yeah,
they're both there. They kind of wipe away the sulking and the hurt and the pain of jealousy.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Thank you for saying that. That's important. It's not that, because it's so important. It's not that we don't pretend. Not that we pretend that we don't feel those things.
Yeah.
It's that we feel them and we are kind to them, and that's where the whole practice of loving kindness towards ourselves is so important. Because we will, again, going against the stream, it's going to turn up all sorts of feelings. And discomfort and that sense of, like we've been using in the NDC thing, these are my strategies to get what I need. If I drop them, what do? I'm not taking care of myself. You know, all of this can come up. So it's really partly why meditation is so important. It allows us to have the grounding and the ability to stay with whatever experience arises. Yeah. And then being empathetic when someone else gets something bad. That's kind of an interesting one, because it's one that you're not quite sure what that means, but it's a little bit of that excitement when you drive by, and this just happened, I drove by a car accident. Ooh, what happened? It's almost like this entertainment value in it, instead of going right to the empathy of, that must be so frightening, and I hope that they're okay. Another example of that is that what sells fan magazines are people's divorces, right? Mm-hmm. Who is it? Recently kept being in the news over and over again. Brangelina, that was it. Brad, what do you call it?
Brad.
I love
Brad.
That you know there.
I really miss it.
I know.
I was thinking
I didn't
say it
aloud. You gotta stand in line.
I know. We're not gonna admit to knowing this.
Feels great. And then wise worldview, which is basically understanding the Four Noble Truths and all the things we're studying, and especially this idea of dependent origination or karma and emptiness. And then the next one, the second one, is meditation, which includes mindfulness in the midst of daily life, being present, all the things we've been talking about. And the shamatha, the single-pointed meditation that we did, which is just bringing your mind back over and over and over until you can abide, rest, stay calmly, relaxed, and yet alert on a single object for up to 4 hours, or over 4 hours even. Now, is that really possible? How about 4 seconds? Yeah? Literally, how about 4 seconds? Yeah. That is the basis of all other meditation, because otherwise, one of the stories is this guy, back in the day of the horses, right? The guy goes galloping by on a horse, and his friend says, "Where are you going?" And the guy calls back, "I don't know, ask the horse." And that's actually a story that's often told, that that's what it's like when we try and meditate and we see we're on a wild horse. It's just taking us hither and thither, and we have no control over it for even a minute. So if that's true, how can we do mindfulness in the midst of daily life? How can we do Vipassana meditation? We can't even remember that we're supposed to be doing it long enough. Yeah. So that's why this is the foundational. And then there's a lot more, as I said, can be said about meditation. So come Thursday night and David will tell you all about it. It's not this Thursday, a week from Thursday it starts, right?
The first.
Yeah. And then, wisdom. Right? Does anyone know who that is? Anyone not know? Neo from the Matrix, right? So wisdom is really this view that takes us out of what our instinctual view of and response to reality is, to the world is, and it takes us into accord with the Four Noble Truths. And it's what where we actually see dependent origination and emptiness. And again, dependent origination has different levels of understanding of what that means. And each school of Buddhism talks about it a little differently. But one of the things to understand is it comes back to this idea that things are not self-existent, they're not unchanging, and what's the third one? It's blank. Not self-existent, not changing.
Dependently arisen.
Well, dependently arisen, yeah. There we go. This is pretty funny. Okay, changing impermanent without any core or substance. Yeah, dependently arisen. See? Ask the guy in the first row. In other words, they're not an independent entity. Okay, so that everything comes together through causes and conditions. And when I think of the different views of dependent origination, I think of a diamond. All of them are true. Like the facets, when you look at one facet of a diamond, it looks a certain way, and you look at another way, and you have a slightly different view or color. And all those facets are part of the diamond. And so when you hear different views, there are six different levels, six different schools that talk about emptiness or dependent origination, which go together. You can't separate them out. Because dependent origination is how things exist. This is like, that's really what wisdom is. How does our world exist? How do I exist? What is the underlying causes of that, the underlying description of it? So to understand it intellectually and then to meditate deeply enough that we see it directly. Okay? And so dependent origination is how things come together. Emptiness is the fact that there is nothing that doesn't arise that way. Yeah, there is nothing that doesn't arise that way, so it's a double negative. So now you've understood, you've just heard about emptiness.
Understood.
So it's much, much harder to understand and see emptiness. Dependent origination we can see in the midst of our lives in just very concrete examples. And again, Thich Nhat Hanh would hold up a piece of paper and say, if you look deeply, you see that there's a cloud floating in this piece of paper, right? Because without a cloud, there would be no rain. And without rain, the trees can't grow. And without trees, we can't make paper. And so the cloud is essential for paper to exist. And if the cloud isn't there, then that cause is gone and the sheet of paper can't be here, right? And so we can say that the cloud and the paper arise interdependently because we can't arise without the other. It arises dependent on the cloud. Does that make sense? Right. So that is considered wisdom. And when you really get the wisdom, you become like Neo. The Matrix is one of our favorite Buddhist movies because it's like that. You suddenly, you know that, did everyone see it? First of all, I'm making this assumption that everybody in the world is seeing this movie. Because if I don't go to very many movies, then I figure I've seen it, everyone's seen it. So what happens is that it's a kind of dystopia universe, and he is told he might be the one who saves the world, who saves the human race and the world and so on. And it goes to all sorts of things, and you don't think he's the one, and then he becomes the one. And when he becomes the one,
he's kind of self-realized.
It's hard, he becomes, well, yeah, he wakes up to reality. And one of the things is that to me, it's the awakening of a Buddha. He becomes the one because he awoke, not because he was the one. That same way that all of us are the one, but what makes us the one is if we're the one who awakens to the fact that we're all the one. So you didn't know you were coming for a little applause. So what happens is the world is kind of run by a computer program, and when he becomes the one, he sees into the reality of what's creating the world, and it's this really super fast flowing computer, what would you call it, code?
Data streams.
Yeah.
What is it?
Data streams.
Data streams, okay, and he sees it. He sees it directly. And once he sees it, then the whole thing becomes magically different for him. What's that?
You can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it, right. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. And then he could slow down bullets and actually send them back the other way because he understood how the world worked. He understood the real causes of things. And before you don't, before you understand the real causes of things, you're stuck in the program and the way the world's programmed for you. When you understand the real causes of things, then you can turn it around and start messing with the code instead of with what you've been given by the data download. Does that make sense? I'm such an so that's what wisdom is. And that is where the underlying end of suffering comes from. So remember that we can continue to train in these things and our life will get better and better because it's the blissful path to bliss. It's a happy path to genuine happiness. Mm-hmm. Every little thing we do makes us, you know, a little, gives us relief from suffering. For that 2 seconds or 5 minutes or 2 hours, we've done it. That's huge. And then eventually we get to the point where it's like we get to the root cause, we get inside the code, and then the whole thing opens to us and transforms. Right? So important to understand, because we think like this, right, wrong, I'm not good enough, I haven't made it there yet. Just because you're not Neo yet doesn't mean what you're doing is unimportant or not, that it means it can still be transforming your life very deeply. So look for those places that are opening, are transforming, where you're using the tools and things change and open. And enjoy that and rejoice in that. And know that that's a sign that you're on the path. Okay. That's probably a really good point to take a break, because we're going to go on to the actual...
Mama, me and Neo.